and welcome to GL Horton's Stage Page. Today is Monday, the 23rd of July, 2007. We had a gorgeous day yesterday, and we took the opportunity to sit around our screen room talking with Lydia about the project she and GL were collaborating on, a play for an actress about Elizabeth Freeman, also known as Mumbette. Mumbette was born in New York and was brought to Berkshire County, Massachusetts in the late 1700s. She then made history by successfully suing for her emancipation. All this just a few dozen miles from where I was born and raised, several years later. We'll get to that discussion shortly, but first, a word from our sponsor.
You can subscribe to this podcast through the iTunes Store or your Yahoo or Google accounts. If you'd rather not subscribe, you can go straight to glhorton.podomatic.com or to the player on the Playwrights page at www.stagepage.info/podcast. Any of these options provides full access to all the shows we've done. Going to the Playwrights site offers the additional advantage of allowing you to read the scripts for the monologues we perform for you. Use of these monologues is free for use in the classroom or in auditions, with attribution, of course. Please tell your friends where you found them, and let us know you're using them. Send emails to g.l.horton@mindspring.com.
It's a beautiful Sunday, and I'm sitting on my second floor screened-in porch, which is like a treehouse.
Mm, yeah.
And you can hear the sounds of nature in the background and the barking dogs. And there's a lovely cool breeze, and I'm talking to Lydia Hannibal, an actress who's just brought me an exciting new project. We're going to do a play about Mumbette. Can you tell the people something about Mumbette and your interest in her?
Well, I first came upon Elizabeth Freeman / Mumbette, who was a slave back in the 1700s, and she sued her master for her freedom. And I came upon this project because I was the chairperson for a Black History Month celebration. I came upon this project because I wanted to find African Americans who meant something in the Boston, Massachusetts area, and she fell into my lap. And she was from Sheffield. So anyway, I decided that once I read about Mumbette and her extraordinary personality and what she did, I decided to make this into a one-woman show.
Uh-huh.
I had never thought of doing this. But my husband, who is from South Africa, decided a long time ago that I should put something together because most of the actors from South Africa, or a lot of the actors from South Africa, are able to do this. We're not trained here in the United States to just put up a show and send it out. Someone who I know, Christina Chan, suggested that I call Geraldine Horton. And
here you are.
Here I am.
Well, I'm so glad she did. Not only did I have a wonderful time creating the one-woman show for Christina that she has toured throughout New England for about a dozen years, but I have a particular interest in your period and in this area. I wrote the Boston's Brothers in Liberty that's set in 1770, so I have spent a lot of time researching and thinking about what people were talking about and how they spoke and mm-hmm. some of the issues and customs and the material existence that people had at that time. So you're asking me to revisit it, but with a totally different slant, something that I knew nothing about. I mean, I had heard her name, maybe, but the story had never been told to me.
Well, that's the interesting thing about this. No one knows about her. No.
If you Google her, you find her.
That's true.
You know, she is a colorful figure that Massachusetts has cared enough about to pay for people to research her and put it out on the web for everyone to find. And the town of Sheffield in Berkshire County is very proud of her,
mm-hmm.
as we discovered when we went there.
That's right. But everyone I've spoken to, no one knows about her. Very few people know about her. And so they're excited to find out more about her, as I am excited to find out more about Mumbet and this time period and what she did.
Well, my friend Will, who just died, assured us that Mumbet was part of the Newton North High School's American history, Massachusetts history, particularly curriculum, when he was teaching theater classes there.
Oh, really?
And that the kids did know a little bit about her. She was, as you said, African American History Month. Mm-hmm. That she has been the focus of some study here in Massachusetts.
Oh, well, that's good.
So there will be students who have at least heard of her, mm-hmm, and would probably be very curious and interested to learn more if we can bring her to the vivid life that we propose.
Well, I would like to take it into schools and libraries and to universities.
Well, when we went, we did make a visit.
Yes, we did.
We did our research trip up to the Berkshires, where my mother-in-law lives, David's mother, and we went around and we paid a visit to her grave.
Yes. And to the courthouse.
And to the courthouse.
And where she worked as a slave.
And we went to the Ashley House, Colonel Ashley's house in Ashley Falls, except that it's now been moved out of Ashley Falls into Sheffield proper, well, into the outskirts of Sheffield. We looked at the house. Unfortunately, the hours of opening for the house that are on the website are not the hours. They've apparently run out of funds and had to cut back. And it's only open certain hours of the weekend, which was not when we happened to be there. So we're going to have to make another trip to see what the inside of the place where she worked and lived looks like.
Yes.
Yeah. But didn't you feel that we got a real sense of her presence?
Oh, definitely. I felt every place we went to, I felt that this is, I felt her spirit around us. I felt it was just exciting to be in her
footsteps.
In her footsteps, and to get a sense of how long it took to walk from the courthouse to where she lived, and just to walk around in that area and to know that very little has changed.
Well, of course, there are now roads, and there
sure
were really just rutted paths back then, but you get the sense that the basic landscape is still the same, mm-hmm, unlike built-up areas like we live in here, where mm-hmm it's very hard to see what imagine what this place looked like. And of course, Boston was just a few little pieces of...
Like the cow patches? Or?
Well, yeah, but they were in a swamp.
Mm.
Most of what we know of Boston now is all filled in land, which happened in the 1800s. Back revolutionary Boston is just some little islands that are now surrounded by buildings and roads and infrastructure that just didn't exist
around the
revolution. Oh, well, we'll have to go walk the Freedom Trail and the Black Heritage Trail,
yes,
and give you a sense for what was there. But right now we're mostly concentrating on the written records that are left from this trial and the stories that were collected. Apparently she was a pretty colorful character. There were letters and journals and a short biography written by the daughter of the lawyer, Catherine Sedgwick, mm-hmm, the daughter of Theodore Sedgwick, who was the lawyer who handled her case before the court there in Sheffield.
Mm-hmm.
At this stage, we're gathering this material and doing a lot of talking about it and trying to figure out what is the core of how you're going to present this. And of course, the interesting thing is to try to imaginatively get Mumbet to talk to us. So we get a sense of her voice and her way of storytelling. Apparently she was a great storyteller. She told stories to the children and grandchildren of Theodore Sedgwick. She worked for them after she got her freedom.
Have you come across any of those stories yet?
Just the story that there are stories, but I'm imagining that those stories that we have, like the one about the Shays Rebellion, mm-hmm, that we, mm-hmm, were working on now, mm-hmm, are stories that she told around the kitchen fire when they said they were all gathered around her and she was telling stories. So I assume that she's told stories about herself, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm also about the people that she'd met. Because she worked for the most important men in that area,
mm-hmm,
and political meetings and revolutionary plottings,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm
because they were both lawyers and justice of the peace, various gossipy tales of who got in trouble with the law must have happened within her hearing, right?
That's I would imagine so. Yes.
So the stories would probably be not fairy tales or folk legends, but
well,
but things based on actual oral history.
What was said about her, that her stature was great, or what was that?
Well, they talk about her having such dignity and such a commanding presence that, you know, people listened to her, and she expressed herself very well. she took everything in and then said it out in plain and sort of arresting words.
One of the things that stand out to me is after she got into the argument with Hannah, who took the hot iron and tried to strike her sister, just around the dinner tables, and people would say, "Mumbet, what happened to your arm?" And she'd say, "Ask Madam." I can imagine how she said that and how just saying, "Ask Madam," would put that Madam in her place.
Or on the spot,
or on
whatever.
Yes.
Well, that's the story. The Shabit Rebellion story is another one of those where she used her sense of what was the right thing to do, the noble and appropriate thing to do, to embarrass this roving band of sort of desperate men who were veterans of the revolution and had risked everything and were not prospering under the Articles of Confederation and the way that, in some ways, the revolution was a movement on the part of property holders to defend what they owned and not risk losing their superior economic position, because a lot of their deeds were open to dispute. But in the course of defending their property, they appealed to principles of equality and democracy that those people who joined in their fight, who did not have a lot of property to protect and were not particularly prosperous, expected that they would benefit from independence too, and many of them didn't. And so that's why they had Shay's Rebellion. But she appealed to their sense of dignity and made them feel small and embarrassed that they were breaking into the house and essentially stealing. Mm-hmm. But to face down and get people determined to steal and humiliate you, to slink away in embarrassment, that must take enormous, not just self-confidence, but actual dignity,
to be
that people recognize that you're right and they're wrong, and they better just
especially
kind of
back in those days when
even just a woman, let alone a black woman.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly looking forward to seeing you take.
For me, as an actress, it's hard for me to talk a lot about her right now because it's so new to me. I don't feel her yet, and in order for me to perform a character, I have to feel what and really understand what's being said. But I am looking forward to this process of writing and creating a three-dimensional person who was a real person. That's what I'm looking forward to doing.
But of course, it's even a bigger project than that, because you're going to play these other characters in her life, too.
Yes, yeah.
So you won't just be the embodiment of Mumbet, but you'll carry out the spirit of the employers and the Catherine Sedgwick who just loved her, who thought of her as a second mother.
Yeah.
And she needed a second mother because her own mother apparently was loony.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
Had to be pampered and waited on and indulged in her various flights of fancy. So Mumbet, who had a good, strong grip on reality, was yet supportive and kind. That must have been a very important thing to that family.
Yes. And it certainly is shows in Catherine's writing. Of
Mumbet. She wrote about it. She doesn't go over the line. She isn't really sloppy, but she certainly pays as impressive a tribute as one person can pay to another. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think that must have been a very impressive, because it isn't just love, but admiration that shines through everything she wrote about her.
Yeah.
Everything Catherine wrote about her. Yes. The reason that we have a little trouble finding Mumbet's voice
is
she wrote nothing down herself.
Yes.
What we have is other people's accounts of what she said. And sometimes the vocabulary that they use to quote her sounds a lot more like what they probably would have said than what she said. So we're kind of deducing it through combining different versions of these stories about her and what she said.
There are different versions
because there were at least four people who wrote about her.
So we're going to come up with different versions that we think.
We're going to see if we can find, that guided makes sense. By her spirit, we're going to try to find out what she really said and have you express it.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to it, to that. And this whole process is exciting.
That's our show for this week. We promise to provide progress reports as available. If you're interested in discussing a similar collaboration with the playwright, contact her at g.l.horton@mindspring.com, just like the artwork says. Scripts for solo actors, books for musicals, she's ready, willing, and able. Check out her other work at www.stagepage.info or click on the link in the artwork. Until next week. This production is the creation and property of David Meyer in association with G.L. Horton and the www.stagepage.info website. It may be redistributed in whole or in part only with credit given and with notice sent to davidmeyer@mac.com. Our music is from the Free Play Music Library, license granted through Apple's .Mac program.